This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Islamabad, filing in these last days, militants in Afghanistan fired heavy weapons across the border into Pakistani military outpost, killing three personnel, according to the army. This follows complaints by Kabul, the Taliban government, that Pakistan launched airstrikes against Afghanistan positions in these last days. Helping me understanding, we march to the sound of confusing fire along the Northwest Province is Hussein Haqqani, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States. Hussein, a very good day to you. The attack on an outpost in North Waziristan. At once, you could say this is old news. The Northwest Provinces have been in turmoil for many decades. And on the other hand, this looks to be a response in some fashion to the complaints from Kabul. Now, there is a third element, the possibility that these attacks were launched by someone seeking to provoke the two governments. How do we measure these attacks? Is the Pakistani Taliban disrupting the affairs between Kabul and the new government in Islamabad? Good day to you.
Good day. The Pakistani Taliban were always going to be disruptors. And Pakistan had expected that if the Taliban are in power, they will act more responsibly. This was an illusion that many people nurtured. If you remember, the U.S. Special Envoy dealing with the Taliban, Mrs. Almeh Khalilzad, convinced a lot of people in America that this will be different. But the Taliban are an ideological group. They believe a certain way. They think that the Pakistani Taliban are their ideological compatriots. There is also an ethnic overlap. They have all worked together for decades. They are intermarried. They have family relationships. There is no way that the Afghan Taliban are going to act against the Pakistani Taliban. The question is, why are the Pakistan Taliban stepping up their attacks? There are various theories, no conclusive answers, but it is obvious that some of them believe that this is their opportunity to try and Islamize the Pakistani tribal belt along the border with Afghanistan. And Pakistan is wary of them, which is why the Pakistanis have conducted the air raids on their camps inside Afghanistan. Now, if the Taliban allow such things to be done by the Pakistani military, they look like puppets, and they don't want either their own countrymen or the rest of the world to see them as puppets of Pakistan. So they have to protest vehemently, which is what they are doing. But we don't know if they will really do something or will be in a position to do something. They're totally dependent on Pakistan, for example, for international travel, for oil and petroleum products. They are definitely dependent on Pakistan for trade. So because of all those factors, we may end up seeing a situation in which this will replay itself many, many times. There will be incursions inside Pakistan by the Pakistani Taliban. There will be Pakistani retaliation, and there will be protests by the Taliban government over violation of sovereignty, but no attempt to try and go into a state where the two countries might have a full-fledged war. And if there is one, then Pakistan has far too many advantages, and the Taliban know that.
At the same time, I mentioned the new government, Prime Minister Sharif replacing Prime Minister Khan. The visits in the neighborhood look far more significant than the violence along the Northwest Province. For example, we see that Mr. Modi, the Prime Minister of India, is traveling to Kashmir. And at the same time, Shahbaz Sharif, the new Prime Minister, is planning a trip to Riyadh to visit with the kingdom. Do these moves look significant in a change of direction because of the new government in Islamabad?
Pakistan has a serious economic crisis. Imran Khan's government has left Pakistan in a very weak economic position. Pakistan has often looked to Saudi Arabia for economic bailout. Saudi Arabia has generally been sympathetic. They did not like Imran Khan because of his attitudes, because of his bombast, because he used to talk in terms of an Islamic revolution. And you know that the Gulf monarchies do not like revolutions. They would prefer more stability. The Sharif family, as you know, was in exile in Saudi Arabia during the early part of the 21st century, after being deposed, after Shabazz Sharif's brother Nawaz Sharif was deposed by General Musharraf in 1999. So they have a good relationship with Saudi Arabia, and that is what Prime Minister Shabazz Sharif is hoping to tap to try and get the Saudis to provide Pakistan oil on deferred payments, not ask for it in cash, and payment in cash. Maybe a loan, maybe some deposits in the State Bank of Pakistan to bolster Pakistan's foreign exchange reserves. As far as Prime Minister Modi is concerned, he's going to Kashmir to consolidate. You might remember India changed its constitution to ensure that Kashmir was treated no longer as a region that had special provisions because of the dispute with Pakistan, but it was fully annexed to India and was just like any other Indian state. And so at a time when a new government might result in Pakistan stepping up the, at least the rhetorical war over Kashmir, Prime Minister Modi is making sure that that doesn't happen. Here will be Prime Minister Sharif's dilemma. He wants good relations with India. He needs good relations with India. He needs good relations with the United States, which has now become a very close ally of India, especially in relation to China. Under such circumstances, he does not, Prime Minister Sharif certainly does not want to provoke India. At the same time, there is a strong sentiment in Pakistan, including among the Pakistan military veterans of many, many years, about Kashmir. So he has to say something about Kashmir without necessarily doing anything that might provoke Prime Minister Modi.
The testing, it appears that the dispute along the border, the visit to Kashmir at this moment, and the remarks that you see from inside Pakistan by supporters of Mr. Khan are testing Shabazz Sharif, the new prime minister. Is that a fair way to look at this? Why these things are all happening together?
Oh, absolutely. Everybody is testing the new prime minister, who has to do a real balancing act. He needs the support of the U.S., China, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates to try and stabilize the economy. His finance minister was in Washington, D.C. last week trying to get the IMF to give extend a facility that had been agreed upon in the past. He also wants some calm. He needs some calm with India to be able to attract investment, to keep investors who are already in Pakistan a little more comfortable. And at the same time, he realizes that Imran Khan is being a rabble rouser, something that he's good at. He's playing to the base, which is irrationally nationalistic, which doesn't look at pragmatic factors, which is just rah, 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 Islam, Pakistan, Imran Khan. And that kind of sort of challenge will require a very deft balancing act. And we don't know whether Mr. Sharif will be able to perform that balancing act.
Yes, in our final minute, a very large rally in Lahore. Is Lahore a centerpiece of Imran Khan's support? Is that where he finds most adherents?
Imran Khan has support in large cities, but Lahore was always a Sharif stronghold. And Imran Khan dented it a little bit in the last election. The reason why a rally is being held there is because it's the capital of Punjab, the most populous province of Pakistan, and people can come from all over. It's a junction of sorts. Imran Khan's rally was big, but it was not as big as his rallies earlier. So there's definitely been some erosion of support. But remember, he never got a majority. He got a plurality in a multi-party system. And now the two major parties, the PPP of the led by Bilawal Bhutto Zardari, and the PMLN led by the Sharif family, they are likely to join forces. They are already part of the coalition government. And if they join forces, then it's going to be a much tougher fight for Imran Khan. That is why all he's right now doing is acting as a disruptor, trying to sort of make sure that nothing and no institution remains unscathed. We at the Hudson Institute are right now trying to figure out how the rest of the world can deal with a Pakistan that has so many moving parts.
Hussain Haqqani at the Hudson Institute, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.